there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. I am often astonished by the ways that many of my young guests are able to take painful life experiences and turn them into something beautiful, positive, and impactful. My guest today, Emma Jay from New York City, shares a heartbreaking story with me, and yet the joy that she exudes in describing her nonprofit, Club Care, is a testament to her resilience, kindness, and the way she was able to turn an incredibly difficult loss into a beacon of hope for families of pediatric cancer patients. Welcome back, everybody. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Emma. She is going to tell us all about this wonderful organization she started when she was little called Club Care. Hey, Emma, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me. So why don't you start with a little more of an introduction, how old you are, where you go to school, where you live, and then tell us the whole story about Club Care, how it got started. Tell us everything.
I would love to. Okay, so as you said, my name's Emma. I'm 17. I live on the Upper East Side, and I go to Beacon High School. I'm a senior right now. So Club Care really started when I was 11 or 12. And unfortunately, when I was 11, my dad was diagnosed with brain cancer, a type called glioblastoma, which is unfortunately really aggressive and really severe. And from a very young age, my parents instilled in me like this value of charity and helping others. So it was sort of a natural process for me when going through something like this that I really wanted to do something to help out my community. And initially, it started as a bat mitzvah project. My friend, of course, we wanted to do something to help the community. Her father had unfortunately passed away a little bit earlier from cancer when she was about 5. So we made this immediate connection and we started planning this first project. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to deliver care packages to families and children receiving treatment in the oncology unit at Mount Sinai Hospital. So we started with this project. We started selling our own clipboards and we raised all this money and we made these care packages, and it was toys and games and cards and markers. And we ended up delivering it to the Mount Sinai Oncology Pediatric Unit. And it was like the best day of my entire life. It was so incredible. I like think about it all the time. I look at pictures all the time. It was just like the most amazing feeling in the entire world. Like being able to take my experience and then transform it into something and like connect with these families. And like, it was so amazing for them, but it was also so amazing for me to like build this connection and see like that community that I had. I was going through so much with my dad, but when my dad passed away, he passed away when I was 13 in 2020. He was alive for when I started doing this Club Care initially, but it obviously was just such rewarding work and I really, really wanted to keep doing it. So we sort of started doing more projects. We had ideas. We did, I think some of our first few projects where we did bake sales and then we would deliver care packages to nurses in the hospital. But from there, it really just escalated. We did it all throughout COVID. We had so many different projects. We connected with different families. And now Club Care has really expanded. It's become like a real unit. There's one in my high school. There's one in about 8 high schools around the world. There's one in Paris. So you can say we're a global organization.
That's right.
But really what we do sort of with these projects is we connect with these families. And we like to say we create joyful moments, which is something that my dad loved to share. And we take them for special events or like shopping excursions. We do drives, holiday drives, all sorts of things for that. And then we really like to just keep fostering these relationships with these families. So it's really just an ongoing effort. And I'm just so lucky I get to do this work.
Well, it's just amazing. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry about your dad. That is a particularly difficult and, as you mentioned, aggressive cancer. I had a dear friend who went through that as well. She actually lived 4 years, which is
As you know, unfortunately, that diagnosis tends to be a pretty short time frame because of how aggressive it is and how hard it is to treat. So for that to happen to you as such a young child and to your family, I'm very, very sorry that you had to go through that. But this story that you're telling us about Club Care, and especially the joy that it gave you to do this work, is just a really wonderful reminder that when really bad things happen to us, if we can take some of that and channel it into helping others, that really does bring us a lot of joy. So I love that you did this with another friend. I would assume that was around her bat mitzvah time as well. So it's always great to do things together. It keeps you a little more motivated. Tell me about the clipboards. Is that like you bedazzled them or decorated them? Like, what was that exactly?
Yeah, so sort of like you were saying, I always like to say that nothing is so bad that something good can't come out of it. So I feel like that's very on theme. But with the clipboards, it was a time when everyone was sort of going to camp. And, you know, we looked at the demand in the market and we made those like camp clipboards. And I remember we like picked out the designs and like one, we did one that was like had like hearts on it. And then one that was like Fortnite and like, I just remember sort of like sharing with all of our friends and we were like having our friends tell their friends. And like, I just remember like sort of that widespread, like the initial project and how excited we were. And I remember all those steps so clearly, like we designed the clipboards and then we sent out the forms and then we dropped them off at our friends' houses. And then we actually gave the clipboards to like the Cancervation Sioux. And then we went and we like organized the care packages and like, it was just like so much and so fun. And like that was like, it's just such a fond memory for me because like it was so meaningful, but we also just like had the best time doing it. And like, we were so excited about like what we were doing.
Right. I think creating something, it's almost like your own little business, right? Except that you were doing it as a nonprofit and to help other children who were going through this horrible time in the hospital. But like, yeah, when you hit on something that you're really passionate about and everybody else is super excited about it, and clearly at your age, that was something that everybody really wanted. I mean, you could, it's, you know, insert here, like making friendship bracelets, right? Like that whole rage around Taylor Swift friendship bracelets, like anything like that, that is something sort of fun that people would like to have and would be willing to pay money for. And then of course they hear your story and what you're raising money for. And people are so happy to support. Tell me about the relationship with Mount Sinai. So I will assume that your father was being treated there. Maybe he wasn't. How did you approach them in the pediatric oncology ward? How did you say, you know, we'd like to do this? I do know, and I want to be sure that we're very clear, a lot of times young people want to volunteer with young people in the hospital, and it is often very hard to do so, understandably, because they are very sick and you don't want to bring any germs in and all of that. So how did you connect with the folks at Mount Sinai? I want to hear a little bit more about that. And then tell me how it expanded, you know, and how you got other Club Cares around the country and around the world.
Yeah. So I am very lucky. My mom also works in healthcare. She's a social worker. So as I said, that volunteering charity work is definitely in the family. So we were able, she doesn't work with like pediatrics or oncology patients anymore, but she had a ton of connections. So through that, we sort of created our own connections and sort of illegally, they snuck us in. And it was definitely a fun little spy mission. But we were so, so lucky that we created that connection. And then through that, we met just so many like nurses and wonderful doctors and people. And then we saw sort of like a desire where like they were so, so appreciative of what we were doing for the patients. For them, they deserve something. So we really used that then connection to like, we still do it now, like Valentine's Day drives or like on like for Christmas, like all sorts of different things. So like that was really impactful and sort of seeing that face to face.
Yep. And then how did you expand?
Yeah. So I started in middle school, and when my friends and I went off to high school, we knew we wanted to keep it going, and it sort of worked out very well. So it was me and my friend who were doing it at this time. And since then we've sort of broken off, but we had a ton of friends who were involved with Club Care still. Like they would volunteer with us, help us out at the bake sales. And, you know, people when they're in high school, you want community service opportunities, you want stuff to put on your college resume. And people were sort of asking what they could do for, you know, like volunteer hours. And we had this idea that if we were starting clubs in our schools, other people could sort of start their own individual chapters in their schools. as a starting point. And it was really amazing. I wrote an entire, I believe it was like 30 pages or something, a guide about how to start your own club care chapter, which, by the way, was very good experience. I feel like from a business sense, I feel like I've been getting some experience, which is a really great experience doing that. But then it also helped people, then they could read the guide and see sort of what they had to do to start a club care chapter. And really from there, I would meet with them once or twice. And then it was more of an independent process where like they would come to me if they needed a family or they had like an idea they needed help with, but they would have weekly meetings. And from there, it just sort of spread. There's a chapter in Miami. There's a chapter in Paris. It's the American School in Paris. That still counts. There's one. There's some like upstate New York. I believe there's one in Philadelphia, a bunch in the city. So that's really amazing, sort of knowing that even while I'm not doing work for club care actively, like it's still like going on like beyond me. And then when I do get to do the club care work, I sort of get to like reach out to this whole network that we've created. And like knowing that when I go off to college, hopefully I'll still be able to do this work. But knowing that like I have this legacy that's being left behind and like I need my dad to like love that. Like it's just so amazing knowing it's beyond me.
Absolutely. And having a guide book like you put together, I think is super important because you've created a brand, if you will. You know, this is something that you really care about and you want to make sure that people are doing the right thing if they're representing club care out in the world in another place. So you gave them sort of best practices, right? And the fact that you can all connect with each other, maybe someone came up with an amazing fundraising idea that you could say, oh, we could try that here. Tell me, have you faced any challenges in this work or anything that you were sort of surprised by or, you know, obstacles that you've had to overcome?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things is just being sort of like, I'm young for this sort of like intense kind of work. And I remember we did an event a few months ago where we took a few families to the American Girl doll store sort of for like shopping spree and tea time. And I, you know, like I text with the families to sort of coordinate before. And I walked in and they were like looking all around me and I was like, I'm right here. They're like, oh my God, we thought you were like some like adult who like, and I was like, no, like it's just me. And I think that it's really funny having those experiences, but it also makes you realize that there's a lot of sort of doubt from like the world and from the community where it's like, and I think it's also a doubt with young people and like teenagers where it's like young people can't really make a significant difference. And I know that that's something that you're so big on and sort of like sharing with the world. But I think that that's really a struggle is like being taken seriously from that sense and like having to like, I've applied for grants and stuff like that. And I think it's like really like proving how dedicated we are to the cause. But I also think from like an emotional standpoint, it is really sensitive work. And I think that not only like for myself, but also for the families we work with, you know, like the families are so appreciative and like, it's often like a very emotional process. And I think like we share our stories and we sort of talk about how like we got to this place and like, that's really, really intense. But I also think that's one of the biggest challenges, but it's also one of the biggest rewards.
Right. Of course. And you may be working with a family whose child, you know, is very, very ill. And perhaps the joy that you're giving them is one of, you know, one of the only things that they have. I'm so just really impressed because it's such a simple concept and yet you've just done it so, so beautifully. There are lots and lots of organizations out there that help families whose children are going through this. The Ronald McDonald House comes to mind, of course. But interestingly, they don't welcome teen volunteers. You know, they actually shut their doors. They won't let young people come in and volunteer, which is kind of a shame. I love that you've sort of created something for yourselves. You know, it's really wonderful. Can you tell everybody where they can learn a little bit more, your website, all that good stuff?
So our website, it's, I'm not exactly sure the direct link, but it's, if you look up Making Headway Club Care, our website's there, some information about more of our activities. You can see what we've been doing, a link to donate, and contact information if you want to learn more.
Amazing. Making Headway Club Care. Yes. Awesome. Well, Emma, I'm so glad I got to meet you. What a wonderful story. I'm just wishing you the best of luck. I love that you want to continue to do this work when you get to college. It's just really, really special. Thank you for sharing this with us.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.